Seek out that particular mental attitude which makes you feel most deeply and vitally alive, along with which comes the inner voice which says, "This is the real me." And when you have found that attitude, follow it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Inspiration. Seek out that particular mental attitude which makes you feel most deeply and vitally alive, along with which comes the inner voice which says, "This is the real me." And when you have found that attitude, follow it, said psychologist William James. How do you seek it out? We read many books, Life and Teachings of the Master of the Far East, Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind, Mary Baker Eddy's, you know, Science and Health, Unity books by Ernest Holmes and others. We read Eckhart Tolle's wonderful book on getting to know your now self. And all of them point to ways that you can get to know that what the real me is. They all want you to get to feel what that real me is. And that's great. That's great. Philosophy says, "Man, know thyself." It's one of the greatest things. And Jesus said, "Physician, heal thyself of your thoughts, of your attitudes, of your emotions that destroy you from being yourself." Now, what is the real you? We have to seek out those attitudes and those feelings in our inner being, which are our real self. Now, we are not generally people who give of ourselves. We are not giving people. We are taking people. We are people who give with the motivation that we get something back. We feel that if people don't give us something, then we haven't been very successful as salesmen or whatever we call ourselves. How is it best way to reach out and find who the real you is? How do you know what it is? You take personality tests, you take tests to find out what your attitudes are, what your way of thinking is, who you are, and that's only going to be the representation of you at that moment. Now, if you were to say to a child, "Who are you?" What is the word the child would use?
"I am me."
"I am me." Simple, direct, no special problem there. "I am me." Now, what does he mean by saying "I am me"? Well, what he means when he says "I am me," what you see is who I am. I'm a nice guy. I'm a happy guy. I like me. Everything is good. And you say, "Well, no, that's not really you. There's an inner you that is deep and significant within you, and that's the real you." And the kid says, "So what? You know, I'm being myself and having fun. That's the real me." But you've got to grow up and have a profession. You've got to grow up and do something significant for the world. You've got to grow up and be honorable, have a good reputation. You have to grow up and be accepted by the world as being somebody of significance, because you don't want to be just an ordinary nothing. And the little child, with all his innocence and all of his beauty, will ask, "Why?" Yeah. And he's not being facetious. He's not being silly. He says, "Why? Why do I have to grow up to be something that the world thinks is good? Why do I have to grow up and be something that is significant in the world? Why do I have to grow up and be something for somebody else? Why? Yeah? Why?" And it's a very good question. Good question. Why do we have to live our life for others? The social action of the church is, we just read five articles that were in the Family Circle magazine from Delaware. And they're very nice, very thoughtful articles by some outstanding religious leaders. And in each one of those articles, the primary emphasis was in giving. Was in giving of yourself, of your time, of your money, of your talent to others. And This is totally contrary to what the Buddha taught, what Jesus taught, what all philosophy teaches. What does a psychologist say? They say, man, know thyself. Plato said it, Aristotle said it, Socrates said it, Jesus said it, everybody said it, you know. Man, know thyself. And I think the most significant statement that really bottles this up in a very interesting way is Hippocrates. Who is Hippocrates?
The father of medicine.
The father of medicine. And what did Hippocrates say to his doctors? He said, before you ever apply any medication to a patient, try it out on yourself first. Ooh, you know, that's tough. In other words, if you don't believe it is salubrious, it is beneficial, don't give it to the patient. And if it's beneficial, then you should be able to take it too. But before you give anything to the patient, try it out on yourself. Now, this is not what doctors do. Doctors don't, well, in fact, some doctors recently did. And there's an article in the Saturday, in the Popular Mechanics, Popular Science magazine, whichever one it is. And in there, they tell about these people who are working as outstanding beings in their various fields. And they're doing unique things. And the condition came up where they were working on DNA and splitting it and taking certain DNA, whatever you call those little things, and inserting it into a human body, into the human DNA system, so that it would make them immune to certain problems. And it worked on some people, but on other people, it killed them. On other people, it caused them to have a disease which was devastating to them because they didn't have the ability to stop it. Now, you say, oh, well, a lot of people lived who wouldn't have, and a few people died who might have or might not have, you know. Now, had the doctors tried it out on themselves, they would have seen, being the doctors have a normal immune system theoretically, they would see that their bodies could handle it. And then they would say, oh, but when you have a weakened body, a body weakened by conditions, and you give them that same minuscule amount of the virus or bacteria or whatever it is, and just to help them build immunity to it, it might destroy them. So we have to be very careful. Which is the real me? The real me is the person that I like, the person I respect, the person that is great. The real me is, for instance, the doctor, who loves himself so much, he would never do anything to a patient that he wouldn't do to himself. Now, you say, well, the patient is dying of a broken leg, and the doctor is healing that broken leg and tying together the veins and arteries and stuff like that so the blood doesn't all flow out and things like that with tourniquets and what have you. And the doctor never did that to himself. Well, I don't call that medication. I call that surgery, right? Now, any medication is what Hippocrates was saying. Before you give it to a patient, you try it out yourself. And I know this is totally unable to be done by modern medical profession because they give out such a tremendous variety of prescriptions and they know so little about it. They can't. They have not done the research on that. They have not. They take the handouts that pharmaceutical companies give them. They take the recommendations of these pharmaceutical companies, and who knows? Do the doctors read the fine print in the medication they give out? They read the major print of how it has side effects or how it doesn't, but they don't read the fine prints. That it shouldn't be combined with this or that or the other thing. They read some of that, but not all of it. And in fact, they may be given something to someone that's going to destroy them. Is that the real doctor? Now, the real doctor is one who just loves himself. And when he works with a patient, what does he do? He sees the patient whole and perfect. And he follows his inner guidance to know what it is that is beneficial for the patient. Now, what does a mother do to get her child to take some cod liver oil or some medicine that the child doesn't really want?
Gives it a treat with it.
Yes, sugar, but what a mother does is she takes a spoonful herself. That's not bad. Here, have some. Now, that's the real doctor. Have you noticed that? That's the real, you frown. But that's the real doctor. That's the real doctor according to the Hippocratic Oath. Now, if that's not your thing, then don't be a mother. If that's not your thing, don't be a doctor. Don't be someone who is working with others, guiding them to having the right medications in their body for whatever it is. Think of this. This is the real me. Find out who the real you is and follow it. Now, is the real you someone who's worried about death? Apparently so, because today we talked about death for a good 20 minutes. Is the real you someone who is worried about health? Apparently so, because we talked about health for a good while. Is the real you worried about what happens when you come back after death? Well, apparently it is, because it was a discussion here. Now, what is the real you? The real you is unconditional love. The real you has no concern what other people do, unless you have created them doing what you want them to do. Now, how do you create other people in your world? You create them to be a reflection of you. If they're a reflection of you, they're not dying. If they're a reflection of you, they're being happy. If they're a reflection of you, they're the real you. And that's beautiful. And if that's the case, then what do you have to talk to them about? What do you have to work with them about? Nothing. You're just living harmoniously, right? Okay. So, if the real you is reflected outside of your life by who you are within your life, then what's the problem? There are no problems. Every discussion loses all its impetus. It has no reason for existing. But the real you is going to be the happy you, the contented you, the fulfilled you, the revealed you, the wonderful you. Think of these things now. Seek out that particular mental attitude which makes you feel most deeply and vitally alive, along with which comes the inner voice to say, "This is the real me." And when you found that attitude, follow it. Now you read Mr. Toll, and he is an absolutely brilliant mind, absolutely brilliant. He is a writing wordsmith, a genius in every sense of the word. His use of language, his use of words, his use of ideas are exquisite. But have you ever tried to apply anything he said? Have you ever just taken one paragraph or one chapter or one anything, one concept and worked on it? He tells you to live in the now. He tells you to let these passing thoughts go through and pay attention to them for a minute and then say, "Okay, you've shown me you're aware," and let it go. Each passing thought is like a salesman knocking on your door. And the salesman comes to your door, "Would you like a vacuum cleaner?" "No, thank you, but thank you for calling." "Would you like to have a horse?" "No, thank you, but thank you for calling." "Would you like to have a new husband?" "No, thank you, but thank you for calling." "Would you like to have all the money in the world?" "No, thank you, but thank you for calling." "Would you like to have all the responsibility for this? You are a queen, you really are, and now we're going to take you into the royal palace." "No, thank you. I'm quite content being right where I am." Could you do that? And the answer is no, because you have what also is called curiosity. You want to know what that would be all about, to be a queen, to have these experiences. And your curiosity would take you there, not because it's fun, but because you have that big nose of yours that's curious to know what it's all about. Okay. So, when you found the attitude, follow it. And I would suggest the attitude is, very simply,
"I like me."
I like me. Very simply, I like me. And any thought that comes into your mind which is not harmonious with I like me, let it pass through. Don't say, get out of here, I don't want you. You're giving it power. Just let it pass through. If the thought isn't given any attention, it won't stay. If the thought is given any attention, even the tiniest attention, it'll stay and say, oh, I touched her, I touched it, I'm going to stay. You know? That's interesting. If Brian comes up and wants to borrow one of our tools at his home, I was thinking of saying to him, now, is this for your personal yard or is this for the guy you're working for his property? And if he said, for the guy I'm working for his property, I'd say, not really. If it was just for his personal property, I'd say, well, enjoy that and see what you want to do there. That's okay. And what would happen? He would realize I placed quite a value. I told him, I said, that's a very special toy of ours. I said, we really love that little thing. You want to be very careful of it. And he says, oh, yeah, I will. I'll be real careful of it, you know. A big smile on his face, and, you know, all real, because he had accomplished what he wanted. But you have to be real careful. If you allow anybody to move into your house that you're not harmonious with, you're going to be in trouble. If you allow anybody to have anything that you have that you're not comfortable with having them have, then their vibrations are going to be very horrendous. And that instrument is never going to work like it has worked before. Not because they do something wrong, but because your attitude is insecure. So if your desire is to be in charge of yourself, the real you, and you made a mistake, then will you make the same mistake again? Was it a bad mistake or a good mistake? It's immaterial. But will you make the same mistake again? If you're not going to make the same mistake again, then you have been blessed by it. You've learned something about it. But if you make the same mistake again, you haven't learned anything. So always be yourself and have fun and say, I like me. This is the real me. And we'll repeat what Mr. James said here, Dr. James. Seek out that particular mental attitude which makes you feel most deeply and vitally alive, along with which comes the inner voice which says, this is the real me. And when you have found that attitude, follow it. I love you. I love you. I love you.